Okay, just one other thing about a psikresha. Remember what a psikresha is, where I don't intend to do this malacha, I intend to do something else, right? But the malacha is going to be done automatically, okay? For instance, my light is on my refrigerator, and I want to open the refrigerator door to get to the food inside. I don't really care if the light goes on or not, okay? But by opening the door, the light always is going to go on. It's not sometimes it goes on and sometimes it doesn't. It always goes on when you open the door. So therefore, opening the door is called the psikresha, and that's awesome, yeah?
So the Zusha told me a story that was at the class last week, and he said there was a story about a man who walked into a room in a hotel where the light automatically springs on, and it was shotless, right? And it was a restroom. So he stayed in the restroom. And we were arguing about whether he needed to do that.
Unless if he could walk out, the light would go off?
We'll
see in a second. That maybe it's a good question. First of all, psikresha applies where the result will be a Torah prohibition, like pulling the chair on the ground that is so soft and the chair is so heavy that it always is going to make a furrow. And digging a furrow in a field, right, is a Torah prohibition of choresh or boneh, whatever, wherever the furrow is. And in a field, it's a plowing, which is a Torah prohibition. Or cutting off a chicken's head is a Torah prohibition of Metilas Neshama, of killing, taking a life on Shabbos is one of the malachas. What happens is only rabbinic thing. What you're doing is psikresha, but the result is only rabbinic. For instance, let's say you wouldn't have a regular bulb with a filament in it, which is Torah prohibition, because it's basically cooking and burning, right, making a fire, but you had one of these cold lights, I don't know what they're called. There's no filament and there's no heat and there's no sparks and there's no cooking. So it's only rabbinic. Most probably it's only rabbinic prohibition. So the halacha is like this: a psikresha to a one-time rabbinic prohibition. In other words, clear rabbinic prohibition is also prohibited. But if it's a trader rabbanan, it's two rabbinic things. In other words, it's only prohibited because you have to come down to two things that are rabbinic. Any one of them wouldn't be enough to prohibit it. And if it's two times removed from a Torah prohibition, okay, then if it's only a psikresha, it's okay. Okay, I'm trying to think of an example where something is trei derabanan. You'd open the door with a shinui, right? You'd open the door in an unusual way. So even if it was a real bulb, it would only be rabbinically prohibited. So that's one rabbinic. And now it's that bulb, which is only rabbinic. So it's a shinui and it's rabbinic. So it's two reasons why it's rabbinic. Then the psikresha will be permitted. So if you had a cold bulb in it, not a filament bulb, I don't know if they make them, but if you had such a thing, and you opened it in unusually, then that would be okay. Okay, another time of psikresha is okay. A psikresha to a grumma. Okay, not a grandma, a grumma. Grumma means the following: that you don't do something direct, but you do it indirectly. It's indirectly caused. Okay, an indirect thing would be perhaps what you describe. I walk into the room. It's not like pushing a button. It's setting into motion something that senses me and turns on a thing. I didn't turn it on. My being there caused something else to do a malacha. That's called grumma. Under normal circumstances, a grumma is prohibited rabbinically. Okay? But a psikresha to a grumma, that is, according to most opinions, okay. An example to a psikresha to a grumma would be, I open a refrigerator, forget about the light. I let in warm air. That affects the thermostat, which will make the motor go on. Okay? Now, since when I opened the door, I didn't turn on the motor. The door opening, it would let the air in. The air then, what's it called, affects the thermostat. That's already grumma. It's only an indirect cause, not a direct cause. Even if it would be a psikresha, that the motor definitely would go on, but it's a psikresha to a grumma. That, lechara, is okay. That's why many people are so much to open their refrigerators on Shabbos. So some people hold that that's not okay, either because opening the door is not considered a grumma, since the air goes in immediately, right? Even though the motor doesn't go on immediately, that's not called a grumma, some people hold. Most people hold it is a grumma. and therefore they only use the refrigerator either when the motor is running, or they turn it off with a time clock and only open it when it's off completely. Right? But that's a chumra. Me'ikar hadin, opening the refrigerator is mutter, because it's only a psikresha to a grama. And if you don't open your refrigerator, right, then you have a big problem of going into your house if you have an air conditioner on or heating, which has a thermostat. Because every time you open the door, you let in cold or warm air. And it's exactly the same thing. Eventually, that air conditioner or that heater is going to go off or on based on the fact that the air changed in the room. So if you open the door, you're making a change in the air, which eventually is going to make that motor go on or off. And it's definitely going to happen. So, lechara, if you don't, not somech on this union of psikresha to a grama, then you couldn't go into a room where there's an air conditioner or a heater on a thermostat. Unless you hold that perhaps since there the thermostat is not so directly connected, it's not a small area like a refrigerator, there it could be that it's not considered a grama, it's considered a direct action. Now, shaking in a big room, it's more of an indirect action. But that's very hard to support halachically, that there's a difference between a small space and a big space. Another case where psikresha to a grama, a water fountain. A water fountain, when you take water out, right, so in order to cool it, new water comes in, okay, and the motor will go on to cool it. So the more water you take out, the more warm water is going to go in, the more the motor is going to have to go on to cool it. Doesn't happen right away, right, but it's something that will happen eventually. But again, here, you're not causing that motor to go on. You're just letting the warm water in. The warm water then changes the thermostat. It's all a grama. Another case of psikresha to a grama.
By leaving it on an extended amount of period, where for then for short it will go on.
Yeah, because it could be, because that's not because of psikresha. That's because if you leave it on for an extended amount of time, then when you're pushing that button, you're turning the motor on. It's not a grum anymore. Right? If you leave it on for an extended amount of time, then at some point, right, it's not just going to be the warm water that went in, it's going to be your maisa right now that's turning that motor on. So that's less of a grum. If like you leave the refrigerator open, what's it called, for a long time, right, then it's not only a grum now, it's almost your maisa that's doing it. It's almost direct. Right? It's like it's almost like pushing the button. Because you're doing something that's going to cause that almost immediately. But if you don't leave it like that, right, even though eventually it's for sure going to go on, it's hard to say it's not a psikresha. Eventually that motor is going to go on, no matter how much it's going to go on sooner than it would have gone before. But in that situation, it's still only a grama. You didn't actually cause it directly. Another situation, you have a plant in front of a window. Okay? Putting a plant in the sun, right, or putting it in the shade from the sun is prohibited on Shabbos. If your kavana is to put it in the sun, it should grow better. Okay, that's awesome. But here, if you open the window, you open the shade, you're letting the sun come on the plant. Okay, but you don't want the plant to grow better, you just want to let light into the room. If your intention is to open the thing and let sun go on your plants, that's awesome. But my intention is to let the sunlight in the room. I don't want it on the plant, Badafka, but the plant happens to be there. So, what are you going to say? Yeah, but if I open the thing, it's a psikresha. The sun's going to go on the plant. No, but it's only a grama. I didn't make the sun shine. The sun's shining by itself. I'm just taking away the impediment, which is the curtain. That's called the grama. So even though it's a psikresha, it's a grama, that's mutter to open the shade.
A grama doesn't require any kind of time lapse?
No, not if I'm not the one who's causing it. So here, in other words, where I'm pushing a button and making water go in and it happens immediately, that could be not a grama. But by the sun, I never cause the sun to shine. If I do, then...
No, but you're causing it to come through.
Right, yeah, but that's still only a grama. I'm taking away a maniya, and the thing is happening. That's called grama. Okay, next. Next thing that could affect whether something is a Torah prohibition or not is melacha she'ena tzricha legufa. Here the truth is the Rambam holds that melacha she'en tzricha legufa is still a Torah prohibition, but the way we pass in the Shulchan Aruch paskins, melacha she'en tzricha legufa is a rabbinic prohibition. It's a very strong rabbinic prohibition, but it's only rabbinic. Now what is melacha she'en tzricha legufa? The best way, there's a difference of opinion, but the easiest way of explaining is the following. There were, in the Mishkan, that's where we learned the melachas of Shabbos, there was an action that was done, and there was a purpose for that action. Okay, for instance, in the Mishkan, when they dug holes, okay, they did it for the sake of building. In other words, they wanted their behol to put in a pile and to build something, right? So they dug holes, and that's how they built certain things in the Mishkan. So the purpose of digging the hole was for the sake of building, okay? But they didn't dig holes to get earth. They didn't need earth in the Mishkan for anything. They didn't make sandbags or whatever. So they didn't need earth. So what if I do that same action they did in the Mishkan, but I do it for a different purpose? Okay? I'm digging the hole, but I'm doing it to get the dirt, not to make the hole. I don't need the hole. I only want the dirt. If I could take the dirt and there wouldn't be any hole, it'd be fine. If I'd be on the beach and I could keep digging and digging and there wouldn't be any hole, I'd just keep taking sand, that would be fine with me. But I'm not. So in order to get the sand, I have to make the hole. But I don't want the hole. I don't care about the hole. All I want is the earth. That's called Malacha Shein Tzricha L'Gufa. And what's that different than what we said, Sigresha? Right? Malacha Shein Tzricha L'Gufa, according to the Shulchan Aruch, is Pater Avolasa, under most circumstances. It's rabbinically prohibited. It's not prohibited from the Torah. The Chorah, that's a regular Sigresha. I'm intending to do this work, right? But I don't want it for the hole, I want it for the earth. But I have to make the hole. The hole is there. Why is that different than cutting off a chicken's head? Right? I don't want to kill the chicken, I just want the head. But that, we said, is a Torah prohibition, because it's psikresha. Why isn't this? So the Aruch HaShulchan says, what's seemingly the easiest way of understanding it, he says like this, there's an idea that you don't have to have intention to do a mitzvah. Okay? Now, if you do a mitzvah without intention of fulfilling the mitzvah, you fulfill the mitzvah. If you ate matzah and didn't think about the fact that it's Pesach, and I'm eating this to fulfill the mitzvah of matzah, you're still yotze the mitzvah. Okay? Mitzvah sein tzrichas kavanah. Okay, according to at least one opinion. But if you have intention, the dafka, not to fulfill the mitzvah, then you don't fulfill the mitzvah. Okay, in other words, if I have intention, I don't want to fulfill the mitzvah of matzah by eating this matzah, then you don't fulfill the mitzvah. Even though you don't need intention to do it, but if you have opposite intention, it prevents you from fulfilling the mitzvah. Same thing over here. If I cut off a chicken's head, it's not that I'm thinking about killing the chicken, but I'm doing it for a different purpose. No, here I'm not killing a chicken, I just want the head. When I'm pulling a chair across the ground, I'm not thinking at all about making a furrow. All I'm thinking about is pulling the chair, except the furrow is made automatically. So there, since it happens automatically, right, I don't have to be thinking about making a furrow. If it happens, and it happened because of my action, that's called already psikresha, and I'm chayiv. But over here, I'm thinking about making a hole. But I'm making it for another purpose. I'm not making it for the purpose of the hole. I'm making it dafka for the purpose of the sand. That's like opposite intention. That's why it's only rabbinic. So a malacha she'ena tzricha legufa. We'll give you another example that's a very simple example. Putting out a fire. Putting out a fire is a malacha she'ena tzricha legufa. Because why did they put out fires in the Mishkan? To make charcoal. They didn't make fires in the Mishkan just to have fire. Right? There was no such malacha of making fire. They made fires in order to make charcoal. So they lit wood, and then they put it out before it turned to ashes, so they'd have charcoal. That's how you make charcoal, controlled burning, and then you put it out, right, at a certain point where you have now coals, okay, that you can use again. So when they put out fires in the Mishkan, they didn't put it out in order that the fire shouldn't be there. They put it out in order that they should make charcoal. So what if I have a house on fire and I want to put out the fire? I'm not putting out the fire, right, to make charcoal, right? I'm putting out the fire because I don't want the house to burn down. So I'm putting out the fire and I'm putting it out the dafka, right, for a different reason than making charcoal. That's called Malacha Shein Tzrich L'Gufa. So really, extinguishing a fire on Shabbos is only a rabbinic prohibition. But the Ran says that he's so close to being a Torah prohibition, the rabbis treat it as if it was a Torah prohibition, but it's only rabbinic. Putting out a fire where there's no idea of making charcoal is only rabbinic. Therefore, extinguishing a gas flame where there is no charcoal, right? Or an electric flame in a metal, which is nothing that's left, right? Nothing is burning, right? It's only something glowing. That's only a rabbinic prohibition, not a Torah prohibition. So that's called Malacha Shein Tzrich L'Gufa. Then there's another thing, is mekalkel. The only things on Shabbos that are prohibited, are positive, constructive actions. But if I do something that's destructive, it's only rabbinic. Okay? So tearing on Shabbos is only chayev if the tearing is constructive. I have something that's, what's it called, that's uneven. I want to tear it and resew it. So there, the tearing is a positive thing. But if the tearing is just to destroy something, stop tearing destructively is only rabbinic. There are maybe two exceptions, according to some opinions. Mekalkel b'chabura, because the nature of the work is destructive. Where you make a wound, draw blood, right, that is in itself destructive. So there could be that you're chayev even if it's destructive, right? And what's it called? Mekalkel b'havara, where you burn things. Burning also may be a destructive thing. Burning destroys. So it could be that even if it's totally destructive, you're also chayev for burning. But all the other malachas, right, are always chayev only if you do them in a constructive way. If you don't, they're rabbinically prohibited, but not Torah prohibited. Okay, so therefore you can understand that if something is done in a destructive way, there'll be more leniencies with that than there would be had you done it in a constructive way. Okay, we have a few more to finish. We'll do that next week.